ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When grazier Matthew Pitt took over his family's organic beef operation almost 20 years ago, his pastures were run down and the future looked as bleak as the barren paddocks. Alongside his brother, he embarked on a journey to regenerate the 6,000-hectare property in central Queensland.
It was a bit of a lonely road at times. You were all of a sudden speaking a language that most of your peers didn't really understand or couldn't relate to.
Hello, I'm Callie Buchanan. Matthew's experience is reflected in the first Farms in Focus report, which found farmers are embracing new land management practices, but implementing change remains difficult. But even amidst global volatility and uncertain weather, Matthew is unashamedly optimistic about the future, and the survey suggests he's not alone.
So we operated in a wider family company from 1962, before I was born, through to 2007, in which we enacted a succession and we broke the family partnership up into the entities that made up the family. And before that had happened, there was a phenomenon that's well known by people in the bricklayer belt is pasture rundown. And essentially it is just the decline in nitrogen in your soils. Then you had areas that bared off, and that was sort of the catalyst to change. And as a part of that, my brother and I were sent to a GFP course in Dubbo in 1992, run by Stan Parsons. And that was our first exposure to, you know, basically a whole new way of thinking and doing business and all that sort of stuff. And that was great, except, you know, new ideas are wonderful things until somebody wants to actually implement them. And then all of a sudden there's these beautiful things called paradigms that pop up, you know, here, there and everywhere. And so we didn't start with grazing at all. We actually started with the business analysis. Nobody was particularly fond of doing the books, and business is very much part of that regenerative ag scene, be it grazing for profit or holistic management. So we started there, and that gave us, we computerised the accounts and so forth and so on, and that gave us the ability to basically do some rudimentary enterprise analysis in the business. So we got an idea of where we were, what was making money, what was dubious, about the cost, whether it was actually making a return or anything. We also started to have family meetings and behave more like a business. And from that, that led us to creating a vision or goal that encompassed the whole of the environment and the resources we had at our disposal and the people and our animals, to create a vision or a goal around how we would like them to be. That is a game changer. And this whole process is convoluted and slow and complex, a bit complex. And that allows you to make one decision at a time and say, yes, this is a good step forward, or that's a better one, or no, that's contrary to what we've said. Or you implement something with the best of intentions, and in fact the results don't lead to what you'd intended. So having that guide or linchpin, for whatever you want to call it, was a real game changer in our journey. Then it was actually six or seven years before we actually moved, put all the cattle together in one mob and moved them around, as in, you know, like resting pastures or recovering pastures. And we did that in the original paddocks that we had initially, and then from there we bit the bullet on one of our properties that and we went from 10 to 71 paddocks in one violent and fell swoop.
That's a big transition.
That was a big transition. And the fencing part of that apart from the poor old dad having to grimace as we pulled out all his old fences, which were 40 years old, we had to put in so that what we replaced it with was single wire electric, and that's cheap as chips. You can rip that in, you know, you can do kilometres a day.
Does it give you a sense of control in what must sometimes feel like a bit of an uncontrollable industry? You know, as the input costs keep coming, do you get a sense out of the practice change you've put on your operation that you're controlling the things you can control?
Largely. We still make plenty of marvellous learning opportunities, which are otherwise...
I love that phrase.
Otherwise known as mistakes. And some of them can be pretty expensive, but... To be frank, the thing that we look hardest at or need to look hardest at, sometimes you need a bit of a reminder of this, is what's happening at your soil surface. If your soil surface is covered, it is cooler, it retains its moisture longer, it harbours more life. And these things are all a self-fulfilling prophecy. More life gives you more capillaries in your soil and better soil condition. It's able to absorb moisture faster in these times of more intense and less frequent rainfalls. If you've got change there, it is a magnification process then out into your wider environment, more birds, more life in general, and that also gives you more productivity. It's very hard to raise a particular thing in isolation, but if you take the whole of your environment and try and elevate that, then everything comes.
How hard was it to get started on that journey in the 90s?
It was a bit of a lonely road at times. And you certainly couldn't go down to tennis on a Saturday afternoon and say, you know, wow, I've increased my, you know, A's from this level or to that level, because you were all of a sudden speaking a language that most of your peers didn't really understand or couldn't relate to. But, look, there were good educators in RCS and holistic management available, and there were a few like-mindeds about. And they were very supportive because there weren't too many of you. But that certainly is changing. It's becoming more and more of a phenomenon, right up to the point where the Commonwealth Bank is taking steps to encourage people into new and innovative land and business management practices.
Well, yeah, taking a look at the Farms in Focus report, which I understand you participated in, does it reflect your experience? Do you feel now that there are more producers making the kinds of choices you made? Have you seen that step change happening across the industry?
Certainly there are more, no question about that. But the thing, my takeaway from the survey was that there are a significant portion starting on this journey or intending to start on this journey. And my motivation for being here today, and let me assure you, this is not my natural environment, is that anything I can do to help encourage or provide some form of motivation for people to continue to just keep going, you're on the right track, just keep going, is worth it in my mind.
Looking at the paddock now, when did you get the first sense that this pathway was working for you?
Oof. I guess when our soil surface was changing in that it was more covered. So, you know, you're using your animals, you brought everything together, so you've got a reasonably high grazing density of, you know, animals per hectare while they're grazing, and you're getting some of what you're grazing down on the ground. And you're also dispersing your manure under cells. Animals don't hang around the trough. The trough's a bit of an uncomfortable and tight spot. So the the dung concentration that is known for around a set stock cow where cattle go out, graze, come back, ruminate, dung and drink and go again over 4 or 5 hours later, that's not a thing in grazing. So you're dispersing your dung and then you've got your dung beetles and all that sort of stuff. They're incorporating that in soil and it's all, you know, fertilizer in the making.
Do you feel these days like you're more of a soil expert than a cattle expert? Do you reckon there's balance there?
Absolutely. No. It's all about the soil. You are using the animals in the tool, and while I and my family particularly love cows, their job is to improve the soil condition, and then that allows higher successional species to proliferate and grow, and that increases their dietary intake quality, and it just becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. But look, you have to be careful, and I speak as if we've got, you know, we had all these things and it just happened in this nice succinct order, and, you know, we knew the way and blah, blah, blah. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's been a journey.
And I guess that's the thing. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah, well, everybody should be doing it, I think, but with more support and more knowledge, and it will happen. And the thing is, the problem we were solving, which was pasture rundown, you know, that took 40-something years to get to a point where people were saying, oh, you know, this is... So to think that you might remediate that in, you know, a year, that, you know, it's not... People are impatient. It takes a long time to remediate this thing, and your gains aren't necessarily all financial initially. You've been harvesting from the soil for a long period of time, and when you start this process, there's a payback to do.
And how have the cows responded over the years? What do you find there?
Well, the first moving cattle is fabulous. No, they respond very quickly. It's just classical animal training. And we call, and I'm not promoting calling for any stretch of the imagination, because there's lots of animal psychology and all this sort of stuff, but we call. So we provide a stimulus, the call. It's just a standard call. We always use the same call, blah, blah, blah. You get a response from your animals, which is they come, and then you reward them with fresh grass. And you can train seals, monkeys, people to do anything you want with that exact principle. So that was the first thing. They, you know, they cottoned onto this quick smart. The change in your soil and your plant species and all that sort of stuff is much more incremental. We've been going 20 in relatively intense. We've been going 24 years now, and now we have permanent legumes in the pasture, Desmanthus, Cerato particularly, and a number of other leguminous species that are in the pasture full-time. And lots of them we haven't planted. We planted them in one spot and then there and there another spot. How they got there, I have no idea, but they were welcome.
Do you have a sense of optimism about the future of your operation because of these changes?
Hell yeah. absolutely. So the thing that you are building is resilience in your soils. The other thing that the rotation allows is you can very accurately calculate how many days of feed you have left for your herd. And they are on the same, or basically the same level of nutritional of dietary intake right up until, you know, your last day of feed, more or less. So, you know, if you're looking at the forecast and it's forecast dry, and I'm going to use some terms here, let's say you have 100,000 stock days of feed in your paddocks, you've done the calculation that these are all in animal units of feed, and you've got 1,000 animal units in your herd, you have 100 days of feed. And to get to your, we call it the green date, which is an 80% chance of having enough rain to have growth. So in our system, it's 50 millimetres within 14 days. If you got an 80% chance of having growth at that time and that 100 days can get you to or past that, you need a bit of drought reserve, of course, you're on. If you've got 60 days, 2 months earlier, then you run into trouble. You can say, I need to lighten my herd by however many that works out to be, you know, 100, 200, rather than get to the end of 60 days and I'm now feeding 1,000 for a month or 2 months or however long it turns out to be. The ability to understand where you are in the world and what, how far your pastures will take you and all that sort of stuff is fantastic and gives you marvellous resilience to dry times and all that sort of stuff.
Is it validating to see the, I guess, the mainstreaming of what was an idea when you started that was a pretty lonely path?
It's fantastic. It is fantastic. And it, this is very selfish, but it does irk me a bit in that people now come to you and say, look, I've got carbon credits I can pay you for you know, management regime change and this sort of stuff. And you start going through the list and say, you know, so are you culling empty cows? Yeah, we've been doing that since the bears were bad. You know, you just go tick, 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 and they look up to you and say, you know what, there is absolutely nothing we can do for you. See you later. I mean, that's a little bit galling, but, I mean, that's, you know, that's not part of it. It's just a, you just think,
I guess that's the price of being 40 years down the track compared to some people who'd be looking at it and trying to get started right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Am I going to change places? Absolutely no way. The other beautiful thing is that it does give you a wholesome business model for the younger generation to get their teeth into and get excited about. And We developed this level of innovation, or we implemented this level of innovation. What are they going to do? It's a nice thing to be able to bring your offspring into a business that, you know, has got some positive things that they can really get their teeth into and feel good about. I think it's a fabulous time to be in food in the world. You know, our productive lands are under pressure and there's heaps of population. And while, unfortunately, there are population that are not able to afford some of these higher margin things, there are lots that are. And producing wholesome, nutrient-dense food that is health, you know, has health in itself and is health-giving is a privilege.
The relentlessly optimistic Matthew Peart, who runs a 6,000-hectare certified organic beef operation between Injun and Ralston in central Queensland. If you'd like to learn more about the Farms in Focus report, head online to abc.net.au/rural. If you'd like to explore even further what it takes to put food on plates around the world, join me, Callie Buchanan, and our team of specialist reporters from across Queensland as we break down the big issues of rural life, from the food you eat to the clothes you wear and the home you live in. It's all available for you on the ABC Listen app. Just favourite the Queensland Country Hour or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.